Church, I want to say thank you. I wrote a little card. I was going to read it to you, but I can't. I'll just cry. So I'm just going to say thank you. I know you all called me and were expecting me to come and try to minister to you all, but I promise you, you all have ministered to me far more than I have to you, and I'm very thankful for it. And I know what time it is. We won't preach long. It's Friday night anyway. You don't have nowhere to go. But I want to give you a thought that I have run back to many times in my young Christian life that has always encouraged me. And I pray that it will be an encouragement to you tonight. And I prayed all day, Lord, I don't want this meeting to end. Not because I'm interested in just putting on the billboard we're extending in another meet a week or so we can brag about it or nothing like that. I know we're tired. But I've never been this excited about being this tired. I'm reminded of what the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. It says that that church, Brother Randy, they continuing daily in one accord. I wonder if this is what it was like with Peter and James and John. Every single night, gathering like this, coming together and singing and worshiping. It's been so good. But Joshua chapter number 3, if you're there, if you don't mind, let's stand one more time. Looking at verse number 14. We got a few verses to read, so you bear with us tonight. And then I want to show you some things and we'll go home. Joshua chapter number 3, verse number 14. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. I love that. They didn't cross it when it was shallow, amen. It was flooded. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zaretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Continuing down into chapter 4. And it came to pass when all the people that were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men of the people out of every tribe a man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men of whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. And as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. I want to draw your attention to this question in verse number 6, where they ask, what mean you by these stones? I want to ask you a question tonight humbly. What does your stone mean tonight? What does your stone mean tonight? Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we sure thank you, Lord, for being so good to us this week. God, for Brother Stephen answering the call. Lord, my wife, as she leaned over and said, had Pastor not been obedient to extend this meeting, that may have never happened. God, I'm glad you're in control.
Yes. Yes,
Lord. Lord, you're so good to us. Lord, if this would be the last night we ever meet together, it's been worth it all. Lord, I love you and I thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I want to try to paint a picture for you before we get into this. Moses, the man we spoke about last night, the man that God had chosen and called to go down into Egypt and to lead the nation of Israel up out of that land, that mighty man of God, that prophet of old, has now gone on to glory and he has passed his mantle to Joshua. And if you don't know much about Joshua, you ought to read the book. It's a phenomenal book. This man, Joshua, was one of the most mighty warriors God ever had. Secular history tells us, Brother Rob, that the likes of Alexander the Great would study his battle tactics and implement them into his own war campaign. And we talked about that angel of the Lord last night when Moses saw that angel of the Lord. The Bible says that he hid his face. You go read the book of Joshua and you'll find that an angel of the Lord, Brother Philip, showed up to Joshua one day with his sword drawn, and Joshua walked right up to him and said, are you for us or for them? I believe Brother Joshua was going to go whoop that man had he been on the other side. He was a mighty man of God, and now he is about to lead God's chosen people into that very land that they were just singing about, that land of promise. He is standing, I could just imagine, as they're standing on the banks and those priests with their hands on the ark as they stepped one foot into the river and it just backed up about 10 feet. And they took another step and it backed up 10 more feet and they stepped another. And the Bible says that God told them to go all the way into the middle of the river and just stand there firm. And as they stood, I could only imagine the 2 million some Israelites, men, women, boys, and girls running to the other side, smiling faces and singing songs and just so excited. For 40 years, they've wandered in the wilderness. For 40 years, for 450 years, God's people have been waiting for the day that they would enter into that land of promise. And oh, happy day, it has come. And as that last person crosses up out of that river onto the other side, Joshua looks back and says, we've got one more order of business to take care of. He says, I need you to go down and get 12 stones and bring them up out of that water, and we're going to build a memorial here. We're going to set this up, these stones, tonight. Joshua says to the children of Israel, stepping into that land that floweth with milk and honey tonight, he says, we're going to set these stones up. These stones were monuments of rejoicing. These stones were methods of remembrance. These stones were a message of redemption. Joshua here is simply saying this. He is saying, listen to me very carefully. He said, we must never forget what God has done for us. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, God, speaking through the prophet Moses, gives out the commandments that we are to teach them diligently the words of God to the children of Israel. Down in verse number 12 of chapter number 6, write it down. This is what Moses says. Beware lest we forget what God has done for us. Joshua, just simply following his preacher's command, he's saying, listen to me, God has been good. We can never forget what God has done for us. And they set up these stones. He says, one day your grandchildren, your children, your great-grandchildren, they're going to be playing. Maybe they're going to be out here playing some ball, or maybe they're going to be playing some tag, and they're going to come home, and you might be sitting on the rocking chair on the front porch, and they're going to walk up and say, "Papa, what do those stones mean?" And you're going to respond like this. You're going to say, number one, these stones are here to remind us of answered prayer. These stones are to remind us that you listen to me very carefully. We had been waiting for 400 years. Our people had been begging God to lead us into that land of Canaan. For 400 years, we'd been in bondage and in slavery. For 400 years, we could not get out of there. But one day, a man named Moses and his brother named Aaron walked down into Egypt and said, "Hey, tonight we're going to slaughter a lamb and we're going to sprinkle the blood. And we're going to eat that puppy." Praise God, they were Baptist, amen. They said, "We're going to eat something." And he said this, Brother Charlie, "When you do it with your shoes on and your bags packed and staff in hand. Because come morning, we're leaving out of here and we're going home, honey." These stones are to remind us of answered prayer. They just sang that song, "I know he heard my prayer." This old man, I could just see him now. He's telling his grandson, maybe his granddaughter, he said, "I'm here to tell you these stones are to remind us that God does hear. God will answer. He is able." Thank God he answered prayer tonight. Yeah. These children are going to ask one day, "What mean you by these stones, Grandpa?" And you're going to say, "These stones are to remind us of God's unconditional love." You see, when God brought us up out of Egypt, it was miraculous. We parted the Red Sea on dry ground, and pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire. I can just imagine. Not only, Brother John, did their clothes never wear out, they never went hungry, never went tired. I don't know if you've ever been in the heat. I don't like it. I don't like being hot. They walked around in the shade for 40 years. They were following that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire at night. And as they went, this is what Papaw says, God's unconditional love. He said, just as quickly as God brought us up out of Egypt, we turned our hearts back to it. We began to murmur and we began to complain, and even through it all, God's so good. We would sit and ask questions like, "God can, but God through it all." That song they just sang, and "I've not always been faithful, but he has." What a testimony. He's sitting here saying, listen, God's unconditional love. I didn't always do everything right. Sometimes we messed up. Sometimes we said things we shouldn't have said. Sometimes we went places we shouldn't have went. Sometimes we thought thoughts we should have never thought. Paul said it like this: sometimes I do the things I shouldn't do, and the things I ought to do, I don't do them. But God still loved us through it all tonight. These stones are to remind us of God's unconditional love. You see, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. What's your stone mean tonight? See, one day somebody's going to ask you, what's that stone mean? What are you going to tell them? See, this boy asking this grandpa, what's that stone mean? Well, it means unconditional love. It means answered prayers. What's that stone mean, Grandpa? It means kept promises. Amen. You see, son, these stones not only remind us of his love and his answered prayers, but also that every promise he ever made us, he kept. You see, it was 450 some years ago, a man by the name of Abram and a little lady by the name of Sarah, God called them and said, you're going to leave Ur and you're going to start heading that away. And Moses said, where are we going? And he just said, you keep on walking. I'll fill you in when we get there. And they began to walk, and God made that covenant with our father Abraham and said, your seed will be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And we're going to bless. Listen, not only are the Christians blessed tonight because of Abraham, not only the Jews tonight, but the Bible says this entire planet is blessed because one man decided to step out of his comfort zone and follow God. What mean you by these stones? They're to remind us that God kept every promise he ever made. You see, not only did God promise Abraham that, and God promised Isaac, and God promised Jacob, and God promised Joseph that when he died, his bones were not going to stay in Egypt. He promised Moses when he went down into Egypt. He told Moses, I will bring you up out of that land, and I will take you unto that land that floweth with milk and honey. See, listen to me, son. Mama might not always keep her promises. Daddy might let you down. The preacher might fail you, but I'm here to tell you tonight that there's never been a time that God let us down. There's never been a time that God failed your mom or me or your dad or your cousin. There's never been a time God failed. Every time. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One preacher said it like this. Mark it down. He'll be there. You say, what do these stones mean? Well, they mean unconditional love. They mean answered prayers. They mean kept promises. Papa, what's that stone mean? Well, that stone there, that stone's to remind us of our trials and tribulations. You see, as a child of God, you're either going into a storm or you're in the middle of one or you're coming out of one. And unfortunately, a lot of times, our trials and tribulations are brought on by our actions. See, we messed up a lot in the wilderness. We did things we shouldn't have done. But praise God, He didn't throw away the clay. In our worst days, in our worst times, God somehow would make everything right. See, we sin and we'd complain and we'd murmur. He was giving us food every single day and He was giving us water and we still complain. He was even good enough to give us some quail after we complained about the manna. He was so good to us. And we would complain and we'd murmur and He had to chastise us. Praise God for biblical chastisement. The Bible says if God does not chastise you, you are a bastard. That means you are not one of His tonight. Praise God that He loves you and I enough that when we mess up, like a good loving father, He'll jerk us up by the neck and spank our behinds. That's Bible tonight. Thank God for it. And when He did, He made it all right. For we know that all things work together for good, them that love God and the called according to His purpose. The Apostle Peter said it like this, the trial of your faith is much more precious than of gold tonight. What's that stone mean in your life? Does it mean answered prayers? Does it mean unconditional love? Does it mean kept promises? Does it mean trials and tribulations? Does it mean decisions made, Brother Stephen? You see, there came a point in our wandering that we had to make a decision. God was ready to destroy us. Praise God that we had a man of God that would stand in the gap. And Moses walked up that mountain and looked God in the face and said, God, you can't kill them. They're yours. If you destroy them, we'll be the laughing stock of the world. God said, all right, we'll make it work. Moses went down and the man of God talked to the people, and that night we made our decision. Then there came a time when Joshua had to stand before the congregation, and he rang out, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods on the other side of the floods or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen to me, son. It was on that day that me and your mama got down and knelt down on the altar and said, from this moment on, we're going to raise our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. From this moment on, I'm going to give it all to God. From this moment on, no matter what He does, no matter where He calls me to, no matter what He asks of me, And we will do it. That stone is to remind us of decisions made. What's that stone mean, Papa? You see, God's been too good to us and given us way too much for us not to give everything back to Him. Seems like just yesterday I was in that field on that lawnmower, dealing with the same battle that Stephen just admitted that he was dealing with. It's interesting, everyone seems to know before you do. When God said, you know all you know, you just don't want to say it. You don't want to think it. But I sure am glad I made that decision. I don't think you got to worry about Brother Stephen running. Pastor Kim will chase him down, amen. Papa, what's that stone mean? Well, see, son, that stone there, that stone is to remind us of the revival we experienced when God brought us out of that land. God brought us up out of Egypt, through the desert, fed us, clothed us, protected us, provided, prospered us, gave us a home that we didn't build, food that we didn't plant. What God has done for us this week, we may never experience again, but we better be careful never to forget it. What's your stone mean tonight? You see, I've got some stones in my life. I want to share them with you, maybe to encourage you to think about yours. You see, I got to look down through my life, what God's done for me. See, I've got a stone of answered prayers tonight. We went to a doctor's office visit one day. It's been about 4 years trying to have children. Shots and medicine and a bunch of stuff that never worked. And one day the doctor looked at us. Ain't in the cards for you to have kids, I guess. But God answered one prayer after another prayer after another prayer. Those are adoption papers. You go down and read. I'll never forget when we were going through those court hearings and court proceedings, that woman called me on the phone. She said, "Sir, I gotta ask you some questions. Do you understand that if you adopt these children, you have to give them your name?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Do you understand that if you adopt these children, everything that you have now belongs to them?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Sir, do you understand that if you adopt these children, everything that happens in their life, you are responsible for?" And I began to recall to my mind over in Romans chapter number 8, where the Bible says that He has not given He's given us that spirit of adoption tonight, and we have become joint heirs to the throne of God. Science said we couldn't be parents. The world said it, but God said, "Watch and see what I can do tonight." You see, I got some stones in my life.
Yes, sir.
You see, I got some answered prayers. I got some stones that remind me of the unconditional love that God has for me. You see, Clark Crider set us down on that couch. Brother Kim didn't read Psalm 103 last two nights. I guess I got to do it. Clark Crider set us down in a port on the front living room there on that little couch. Took us to Psalm 103. And said He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. See, I've got some answered prayers for stones. I've got some unconditional love. Every time I open this Bible, my mind goes back to that lost 22-year-old boy sitting down on a couch with a man that had a funny accent that was telling me if I wanted my marriage to succeed, telling me if I was going to make it in life, I was going to have to put Christ at the center of my marriage. I was going to have to put Christ at the center of my home. I was going to have to put Christ at the center of my life. And what at the time, Brother Charlie, it sounded foolish. It sounded crazy. But praise God, Isaiah 55 says this, "His word will not return unto Him void," and the words that were implanted in my heart that night never left my mind. You see, I've got some stones in my life. See, I've got some answered prayers. I've got some unconditional love. Let me show you something, Brother Stephen. This might help you tonight. When we surrendered to preach, I say we, my wife, she wasn't called to preach, but she does a pretty good job of it. When I quit my job at the plant, I told you it was a good job, made good money. You'd never believe, Brother Charlie, the person that came to me and told me it was a terrible idea. It was a man in our church, honestly about your age, one of the most godly men I thought I'd ever met. The morning I surrendered to preach, he pulled me aside and said it was a terrible idea. How are you going to feed those children? What are you going to do for insurance? Brittany's grandma one day stopped us. She gave us this $20 bill. She said, you're going to need it because you're going to go hungry. 2018. My wife carries this in her Bible everywhere she goes to remind her that God has kept every promise that he said he would do. God said that the ones that he called, he would take care of. He didn't say it would be easy tonight. He did not say he would struggle. He did not say that you would not go through trials and tribulations. But he said every step of the way, I will be there. Jesus himself said, the foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. But he did say this, I got you in my hand and I'm in the hand of God. And I promise you I'll take care of you tonight. You see, tonight I got some stones in my life. You see, I got some answered prayers. I've got some unconditional love. I've got some kept promises. I've got some decisions I've made. I can't lose this. I'll get in trouble. 2 years ago, it looks nice, but it's only like $300. There was a time where our marriage was almost completely ruined. And a couple years ago, for a 10-year anniversary, we bought this little ring here. And it's a reminder that what we fought for back then is still worth fighting for today. Yes, it might not be much. It probably ain't even real, gonna turn her finger green. But every time we look at it, it's a stone to remind us that the decisions we made were worth it. You see, I've got some stones in my life. You see, I got some stones of answered prayers, unconditional love, kept promises, decisions made. I've got some stones of trials and tribulations. This is that song I tore out that day up at Chestnut Grove. I cleaned it up. I cut it, tried to make it look professional. I'll miss Maureen every time I look at it. I love that last verse. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. I got some stones in my life that what I went through was worth it. I like that old song, it was worth every mile. Brother Charlie, it's been worth every mile. Imagine how wonderful it was walking into the promised land after all that waiting. I guarantee you ask Moses or Aaron or Joshua and Caleb, excuse me, Moses and Aaron didn't get in, amen. Joshua and Caleb, was it worth it? Oh yeah, it was worth those fiery serpents. It was worth those hard times. It was worth every mile. See, I've got some stones in my life and I got a new one now. We canceled our service a while back on a Sunday night. We had an afternoon service. And Willie stole one of y'all's bulletins. He was so excited to show me that my name was in it. He said, they prayed for you, Daddy. What God has done for me this week, I promise you, I'll never forget it. But listen to me very carefully. I'm going to do some things to ensure I don't forget. You see, I carry these stones with me in my life for a purpose. Because if you go over into the book of Judges, chapter number 2, it's almost 60 years from this moment. And your Bible says this, another generation arose that knew not the Lord. Because they quit talking about those stones. Here's my message. That was all introduction. What do you do about it? How do we not forget? Three steps, very quickly. Number one, you contemplate it. Contemplate it. Look at your Bible with me. Verse number 19, chapter number 4, verse number 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And they spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean you these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Contemplate it. Think about. Paul said it like this, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are good, think on these things. I don't get tired of hearing about that revival in 1997. Maybe you're getting tired of it, but I'm not. Because those were some stones in some people's lives in here tonight. God will never do what He did that night in 1997. God will never do what He done this week in 2025 again. He might do something new. It was the Red Sea one moment, it was the Jordan River the next. But whatever He does, think about it. You say, what do I do to make sure I never forget? You contemplate it. Think on it. Number two, you celebrate it. You celebrate it. Get together with some other people that remember it and shout about it. Thank God what God has done in this church in a matter of 2 weeks. We saw what Jesus did in 3 days, Brother Rob. We gave Him 2 weeks to work. Think of all that's going to take place, Brother Ike, under the ministry of Stephen. I'm just foolish enough to believe that God will use him to save souls and use him to fix marriages and use him to maybe one day other preachers will hear his message and they will surrender to preach the gospel. Maybe somebody will say, you know what, I need to stand up and sing a song like Bow the Knee. You celebrate it. Number three, you conversate about it. Look there at verse number 24. Don't miss the verse 23. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up before us until we were gone over. Don't miss this. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. How do you never forget, preacher? You contemplate it, you celebrate it, you conversate about it. Peter said, be ready always to give an answer to them that ask you the reason of the hope that is within you. You say, when somebody asks you next week, how'd the revival meeting go? You ought to be able to tell them so much that they get tired of listening about it. Next year, year after that, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, what mean you by these stones? What's your stone mean tonight? Every single one of us in here got some stones in our life where God answered some prayers, where God showed unconditional love. Even when you and I didn't love ourselves, He loved us. What's that stone in your life mean? Maybe it shows the promises that He kept. Maybe it's the trials and tribulations that you got. I know you look around the room, we've gone through some things. We're Christians. One of the most interesting things about that word Christian, it's almost synonymous with persecution. But Peter said, it's more precious than gold. What's your stone mean tonight? As we stand to our feet, I've got another one for you. And it might not be much to you, but I am a Goodwill shopper. It's like soul winning. Once you get one, you just want another. You go to get a good suit at Goodwill, you want to go back and get another. And it might not be much to you, but I'm wearing a suit tonight that my church took up a love offering. and gave to me and said, "We're tired of you wearing those old suits. Go buy a new one." And I'm honest with you, I almost don't even want to wear it when I look at it, Brother Randy. I'm afraid to sweat in it. I'm so used to buying old ones and used ones. And that church got me a little card. It said, "Go buy you a nice suit." These things might not amount to a hill of beans to you tonight. What about your stones? Those are mine. Those are mine. What's yours mean tonight? Be a good night. Pastor said he wanted to end this meeting on a high note. Can it get any higher than getting low to the ground and just saying this, "God, thank you. Let me not forget all his benefits."